Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Hey everyone, so good to be here, seeing some old friends. They're not old, but they're friends, but you know what I mean by that. So it's always great to come to Nations and see what Pastor Ken and Chrissy are doing and the expansion that's happening through Nations. So I'm delighted to be here across the whole day today, both services this morning and tonight. All right. So are you ready? You sound ready. All right. We are going to go to a passage of scripture in John chapter 5. And we're just going to read perhaps a familiar miracle to many of us who have come up through church, children's church. Here it is. It says, After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now, there was in Jerusalem a sheep gate, near the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Now, I'm being very brave this morning because I have a slight lisp, and any words that have TH in them are difficult. So that's why I avoid the book of Thessalonians for that reason, okay? So Bethesda, there you go, it's coming out okay. In these five porches, there was a multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred the water. And then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease they had. Now a certain man was there with an infirmity 38 years. 38. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps in before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." This morning, I want to talk to you about you can't win with a losing mind. You can't win if you have a losing mind. So come on, let's pray. Lord, more than just another message, we've heard so many messages, but we never tire of hearing a word in season. And I pray for revelation. I pray for veils coming off. I pray for illumination. Lord, put the searchlight of your Holy Spirit into our hearts. Help us to see what we haven't realized about ourselves yet so we can repent, we can break free, and be everything that you died for us to be. Amen? Amen. So this story we've just read is a primary example of Jesus seeking to help someone who was stuck in a losing mindset. And how does he seek to do that? Well, I want you to join me in being intrigued by this question that he puts to this man. Do you want to be made well? Well, that's a strange question to be asking someone who's been an invalid for 38 years and is obviously hanging out in a place where people hang out who want to get healed. But Jesus puts the question. If it was anyone else, we would have thought this person was being rude. Imagine asking this person, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole?" How insensitive, how clueless. But this is Jesus asking the question. So we know that his question is targeted at awakening this man to a realization about himself. Something he can't see that's happening. So I put it to you that Jesus is deliberately being provocative with this question in an attempt to break this man free from a limitation in his mindset. that we can all, this morning, we can all fall a victim to. This place is called Bethesda, and I'm going to use it as a metaphor for a mindset where so many people get stuck waiting for their lives to begin. Waiting for their lives to begin. Originally, this mindset may have offered us comforting security, but eventually we get trapped in this I can't, if only one day way of thinking. Are you with me? And so sadly, this Bethesda mindset is a crowded place, we're told. Literally and metaphorically, it's a crowded mindset, so full of people who all have a story to tell us of why they can't. Why they can't. I can't because dot, dot, dot. You fill in the blank. I can't. These are the people who have a problem for every solution you offer them. You give them a solution, they'll tell you where the problem is. And into this mindset of I can't, if only one day, Jesus asks the question, do you want to get healed? And notice that it's almost as if the man doesn't even hear the question. He immediately chants out his well-rehearsed response of why he can't. Jesus said, do you want? And he begins to tell him, let me tell you why I can't. And so Jesus is asking him a question that requires honest self-reflection. He's asking him a question that requires him to go inside and hear his self-talk. To hear the internal beliefs of his heart that are holding him in his stuckness. 38 years. And so I'm going to encourage you, let's be brave and put the question to ourselves this morning. Have I been hanging out in Bethesda for so long that I've got stuck in a mindset of I can't? Am I so rehearsed in my story of why I can't do something that I just tune out every time someone starts talking to me about a solution? I just tune them out like this guy did. Just tune Jesus right out. This question of Jesus points past the external parameters that he's been holding on to justify his stuckness. And it probes into his internal world. Do you want to? Do you want this? And so my sermon title is pointing where I believe Jesus is aiming when I tell you, you can't win if you have a losing mind. You can't do it. And just like Jesus, I want to use this message to deliberately provoke you. It's all right, I'm leaving. And I want to provoke you and see if you're stuck there, if you're in this Bethesda mindset, I want to see if I can break you out of the rhythm of I can't self-talk that you've settled into. And we need to have a jolt. We need someone to, like Jesus, provoke us from time to time, because you can't change what you haven't realized about yourself yet. You can't change it because you haven't realized it yet. We need this moment that I think Jesus is trying to provoke this guy into. In the place of the Bethesda mindset, people are always waiting for a special moment. They're always just waiting, lying there, waiting for this special moment. But Jesus is saying, don't limit your life to the alignment of things that are outside of your control. Don't do it. I'm going to say that again. Don't limit yourself to the alignment of things that are outside of your control. It's not about that. It's about what you want. And if we take that point, and it's like Jesus was emphasizing that sort of point. It's about what you want. That while the guy is telling him why he can't, Jesus interrupts him by doing it.
Yeah.
A guy's telling him, this is why I can't, and Jesus said, let's be healed. Don't interrupt somebody who's doing it while you're telling them why they can't do it. And so notice that what Jesus isn't asking in this question. He isn't asking, have you prayed enough? Have you read your Bible enough? Have you gone to church enough? He doesn't make this man's breakthrough all about striving to be worthy or suggesting that somehow he's being punished by God. He pushes aside all of the shoulda, coulda, woulda excuses and he says, do you want to be made whole? And the guy could say, Jesus, look at my physical condition. What has what I want got to do with it? Well, apparently it's got everything to do with it. Apparently it's got everything to do with it because you can't win if you have a losing mind. It's like if you have a smudge on the lens of your camera and you hold up the camera and you don't realize that you're looking through a smudge lens and you start seeing everything as smudged. Now you're believing that this is, you're living in a smudge world. Everything you're looking at through your smudge lens is giving you this perception, and it's creating judgments and criticisms of people and situations in you. So I'm saying that how we see our situation is a reflection of what we carry in our heart. That's why this question is going to the heart, not to the external. It's going to the heart. What do you want? So our experience of the world we live in is created by how we're thinking about it. We are the source of the reality we experience because the only way we experience the world around us is through ourselves. You can't experience this world any other way than through yourself. What do I mean by that? Your five senses are feeding impulses to your brain, which converts these impulses into your reality. That's not a theory, that's a scientific fact. That's what you're doing. Your whole experience of this world is created through yourself. It's only your thoughts about your life that make it appear boring to you right now. It's true. Suddenly, if you think, life, my life's so boring, that's, I'm going to say that's because of the way, that's a smudge on your camera. If I was to put on a pair of sunglasses, which I forgot to bring from my car, but I'll have for the next service. But let's, for instance, I did remember them and I put them on. How unreasonable would it be for me to keep my dark sunglasses on and insist that everywhere I go, everybody I meet, every situation, brighten up for me. I want to keep my sunglasses on, but I want everything around me to get brighter. And yet, we know that that's unreasonable, and yet people want to change their lives for good without changing their thinking. And it's just not gonna happen because you can't win if you have a losing frame of mind. There is an inseparable link between our experience of life and our thinking. And so if your experience of life right now is miserable, boring, stressful, then welcome to the mind movie that you're creating. Pass the popcorn and realize that you are experiencing a drama movie of your own creation. You're the director, producer, and main actor in your movie. And if you don't like your movie, you need to change your perception of what's going on around you. Please understand that your suffering is inevitable if you never question the validity of the thoughts that are coming into your mind. Your mind, your thoughts are not a revelation of you. No more than the shape of clouds drifting over this building right now. I don't stare at that cloud and try, wow, look, oh, no, look at that thought. Look at that. No, it's a cloud. It's just a cloud. Oh, wow, that was a weird one. Oh, my goodness. It's not a revelation of who I am. We know that because we're told in Hebrews 4:15 that Jesus had thought temptations of every conceivable sin, and yet he was without sin. Why? Because your thoughts are harmless until you believe them. Absolutely. Like that cloud, that's just harmless. But if I start, oh, that's a revelation of me. Where I'm finding my identity. And so it's only when we take these believed thoughts that we start creating our experience of the world around us. And so please realize that nobody can hurt your feelings. Nobody can do that. Only you can do that. That's something you're doing. Oh, yeah, I can feel this. Do you want to be you? How dare you say, do I want to be healed? Look at me. Look at my circumstance. No, I'm saying, do you want? You want that? Your emotions of suffering and anger, they rise in you, not to prove that what you're thinking is true. That's not what those emotions are doing. Oh, look, I know it's true. Look, I'm angry and I'm upset, and that's proof. No, all those emotions are a compassionate alarm clock telling you to wake up out of your movie. That's all those emotions are. They're like a blinking, you're in a movie, abort, abort, get out quick. It's an increasing drama. And so we need to stop placing the blame on someone else for how we're feeling. Because when you do that, you render yourself powerless to change your experience. You've empowered them. You're saying, until you change, I'm stuck. Do you want? See how Jesus' question was going, forget about all that. I want to know what you want. I'm saying that you have the key inside of you. So if you don't like your experience of this world, then you should question your thoughts about it right now. Question your thoughts about it. Who would you be without those thoughts? Well, okay then, drop the thoughts and be that person. Why not? So listen to these promises of transformation that God extends to anyone who will be renewed in the spirit of their mind. I like that. The scripture refers to the spirit of your mind. Here it is. Keep letting yourself, this is the Jerusalem Bible, keep letting yourself be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you will know what God wants and will agree with what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. It's a renewed mind that can recognize this is God's will and this is what he wants and it's good. Ephesians 4, strip yourselves from your former nature and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. But if we are a part of our transformation, the Bible is urging us to change our way of thinking. And yet, it's a curious thing to me that people desire a successful, fulfilled life, but they seem very disinterested in working on the management of their inner life. And as a result, they're suffering their freedom instead of enjoying it. Yeah, wow. Let me explain what I mean by that. See, a huge part of this suffering that we experience is because we don't know how to hold and direct our mind properly. Because if it isn't held properly, the mind becomes a misery-making machine. Yeah. It's like a sharp knife. a sharp knife, and if we don't know how to hold it with a steady hand, we'll cut ourselves over and over again. And that's what human suffering is. When we don't know how to hold the thoughts of our mind properly, they'll hurt us over and over again. That's not the nature of the mind to do that, to hurt us. It's hurting us because we don't know how to hold it properly. You're saying, really? We can hold our mind? Yes, because you are primarily spirit, not mind. Listen to the separation the Bible gives us, that you need to look at your thoughts as almost another entity looking at your thoughts. Listen to these scriptures. Prepare your minds for service and have self-control. How can the mind prepare itself? This is referring to this other part of you that can do that. We take captive every thought. How can the thought take itself captive? This is referring to this spirit part of you, which is beyond mind, and we are to make it obedient to Christ. So these verses are inferring that we should view our voice thoughts as separate to ourselves, and we don't need to immediately accept them and embrace them. People take their thoughts far too seriously. In the space of this meeting, you could think, you know, you've won the lottery, you've given the boss, you know, tell him where to put his job, and you know, and you're listening to me. You've won the lottery, you've now bought an island in the Pacific, and you come back in time to hear what I'm saying next, and think, well, that was a great movie. but we take our thoughts far too, oh, I thought it, therefore I am it. Yeah. Well, if thinking something is a revelation of your identity, then Jesus was the most sinful man that ever walked the planet, because he had every possible temptation float through his head. And yet the Father saw that happen to him and called him without sin, because it's only the believed thoughts, it's the grasp thoughts, it's the embrace thoughts that we build our reality out of. So we take our thoughts far too seriously. And this is the cause of great suffering, where the mind is not being held properly with a firm hand. Romans 8:6, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. How many people in this room know the difference between peace and anger when they feel the emotion? I got here just in time. There wasn't many hands. Come on, that's not a trick question. Peace, anger. Come on. Do you know the difference between that? Okay, good. All right, how many people here know the difference between the feeling of joy and sadness? Yeah, okay. So this verse we just read is telling you that if ever you're in doubt about where these thoughts have originated from, your spirit or your ego, you work backwards from your emotions. Let the mind controlled by the spirit leads to life and peace. Well, okay, that's good. Work backwards from that. Yeah, that's good. Death, separation is the correct translation. Feelings of separation, cut off, anxiety, fear, etc. They're all thoughts that we struggle with. So our emotions are connected to whatever thoughts are occupying our mind. So become aware that your emotions of boredom, anger, sadness, anxiety are connected back to whatever's occupying your mind. Have you ever been really anxious about something? Oh my God, dude, and I've really got, oh look, I've got to give this some time. I've got to worry over this. This is like, it deserves this. And the phone rings and somebody, and you're distracted, you put down the phone and you can't find your anxiety again because you can't remember what you were thinking about. Where's my anxiety? Because you can't remember what you were thinking about. So your anxiety is just a little puppy dog following your thoughts around. Drop the thought and the emotion drops away. The way you think about the way you think brings about the way you feel. And this creates a vicious cycle, because then the way you feel brings about the way you think. So around and around and around it goes, and we need to get off the merry-go-round. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you." So we can't control the thoughts that come into our mind, because the moment I tell you not to think of something, you just thought of it. Don't think of a pink elephant. Dang, there it is, a pink elephant. So what can we control when it comes to our thoughts? We can control the thoughts we focus on, meditate on, or the Bible term is setting our mind on. It says, "Finally, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think." Obviously, God thinks you can do this. Set your mind on these things. And in the past, we've viewed maybe this verse as God patting his followers on their head and saying, be good little Christians and don't think about that. But now we know that even neuroscientists are telling us that this is just great advice, because throughout our whole life, our brains, neuroplasticity, there you go, that's a new word, look it up. Your mind is taking on the shape of the thoughts that you keep dwelling upon throughout your whole life. That's called neuron plasticity. So what great advice the Word of God is giving us here. So if we don't want to join the multitudes of people stuck in Bethesda, we can't sit back and wait to be happy and healthy and have a great thought life. Jesus walks up to this man who had been there for many years, stuck in this mindset, and says, do you want to be whole? So here's what I'm asking you to do. Da-na-na-na, landing the plane. Let's get intentional about cleaning up the way we think about God, ourselves, and other people. Let's harness the power of the songs we sing in our church services. We need to sing it more than once, because it takes a while for my lesser truth to give way to the greater truth that is up here on the screen. So some of you think, well, if we sing that one more time, I'm going to go up there. Listen, your lesser truth has got to give way to the greater truth that's up on that screen. So let's stop praying our problems and start declaring our promises. Get yourself a promise, turn it into a declaration, and start, open your mouth and hear your voice speaking the promise of God. Your unrenewed mind will freak out. It will put up every conceivable argument that it can. But God has ordained a great collaboration between the mouth and the heart. It's like the clapping of hands. You cannot clap with one hand. There's no impact. So you might say something with your mouth you don't believe in your heart, you're clapping with one hand. You might believe something silently in your heart and you don't speak it with your mouth, you're clapping with one hand. You've got to get these two working together in your life, declaring the promise of God over your situation. There's a powerful collaboration of that. And if you can't find, if you don't know your Bible well enough, Mr. Google will help you. Just Google Bible verses for blah, blah, blah. There it is. Thank God for Mr. Google. He's helping us. So I'm not, if the singers and musicians can come back and help me, that would be great. I am not teaching you to play tricks with your mind. I'm not asking you to pretend or deny what's going on in your life right now. I'm simply here to tell you that you're not stuck where you are. You're not stuck where you are. Into your lesser truth of hopelessness, into your lesser truth of despair, God speaks his greater truth to you. Break out of Bethsaida. Break out of this, I'm stuck here, my external circumstances are against me and I'm trapped. God says, what do you want? What is in your heart to desire? And so now we come to the truth of the matter. Your state of mind is really a reflection of the condition of your soul. Your state of mind is really a reflection of the condition of your soul. And so in order for this new life, this new beginning, this breaking out of the Bethsaida to happen, we need to come to the one who was promised to restore our soul. Yeah. We're going right to the very source of where these problematic thoughts are harassing us from. There's something going on in our soul that the healer needs to touch. And that's the moment I'm bringing you to right now. If you bow your heads and close your eyes in this room, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, says, I will restore your soul. Right now, I invite you to open your hands, maybe on your lap, palms up, as a physical display of an inward disposition. Maybe the willingness, the want in your heart right now to let go of some thinking that's had you trapped. Those open hands are a sign to God, yes, I do want. I want out of here. I want out of this stuff. I want out of this life that seems to just has trapped me. The state of your mind is really a reflection of the state of your soul. Jesus, we're so glad that we're not stuck, that we've got you. You're our creator, you're our God. We love you. We thank you for the power of your spirit right now, ministering life into this room. Just while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I don't know everyone here, so I need to create an opportunity for people to embrace the healer, Jesus Christ, open themselves to this shepherd. I don't know the circumstances that have brought you here today. Maybe you've been invited by a friend. Stuff going on in your heart and life, but you've never invited the healer, Jesus Christ, the Savior that we refer to, into your heart and life. You know church, you know Christians, you know some Bible verses, but you don't know him. So right now I'm creating a moment for people to get right, to embrace the healer of their soul, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, Lord of their life. Going to lead you in a prayer. You don't need to move where you're seated right now. It's going to be my privilege to lead you in that prayer. But I need to know who I'm praying with and for. And if that's you, lift your hand up really high so I can see that hand and say, that's me. Over there, there's a hand. Fantastic. Anybody else? Lift your hand up really high and say, yeah, that's me. I'm jumping into this moment. I'm getting right with God before I leave this place today. Holding this moment open. Anyone else looking around saying, yeah, that's me. Fantastic. Fantastic. Let's pray together. In support of those that have raised their hands, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you to be the Savior of the world. Savior. today, I receive you as my Savior, my Lord. Come into my life. I receive you now. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for a new beginning. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for that.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.